Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
How are y'all today? Well, I am honored to be here speaking to you guys, and blessings to Pastor John as he's speaking in Hopkinsville. So we're going to be getting into the Word today. We're going to be talking about the fact that we are called to be Christ ambassadors. And so I want to open up in, a quick prayer. I know JP just prayed. Sorry, but I feel like this morning I heard that there are some people both in the house and online that have been struggling with depression, especially in the midst of the pandemic, that's been very hard. So I want to pray over that, okay? So Jesus, we invite you to come and to break off depression off of every person in this room and watching online. We invite you to come and be our family when we can't be with our family. We invite you to come and minister your grace and your joy and your strength in the midst of hardship. And in the name of Jesus, we declare all depression to be gone. And that you, Lord, would raise up a standard against it. That when it comes knocking again, that you, Lord, meet it at the door. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be talking a little bit about being Christ ambassadors. And so part of that, we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 5:20. 1 Corinthians 5:20, sorry. And if you want to turn there, and it'll be up on the screen as well. I'm really kind of, I don't know that I should share this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because I think you might find it funny. I'm really kind of conscious about turning around, because a while ago I bent over to pick up something, and I'm not entirely sure that I didn't split my pants in the back. So that's always exciting right before you stand up in front of a group of people and online and then try to preach a message. Isn't that exciting? So, so I'm going to try to stay this way most of the service, just in case. So 1 Corinthians 5:20, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So an ambassador, if you're not aware of what an ambassador is someone who is a trusted, respected, mature person who is authorized to speak, in this case, as God's emissary, to represent his kingdom. This is someone who is loyal to the kingdom they are citizens of and knowledgeable of the opinion of those they represent. So if you're not familiar with ambassadors, the U.S. has ambassadors, every country does. We send ambassadors around the world. There's a U.S. ambassador to France, to Germany, to the U.K., to Indonesia, all around the world. We have U.S. ambassadors, right? We have a U.S. ambassador to the U.N. So we send out emissaries as a country to represent us as a country and our interest. And they speak on our behalf. So when the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. speaks, it's not that person speaking. It's the United States speaking. So what they say matters. Mm-hmm. Oh, 2 Corinthians, thank you. Appreciate that. 2 Corinthians 5:20. So thank you, Tracy. Appreciate that. So an ambassador speaks on behalf of the person they represent. You and I are called to be Christ's ambassadors. So we're supposed to be knowledgeable of his kingdom, of which we are citizens, and we're supposed to know what his opinion is, and we're supposed to give his opinion, right? Okay. So in Philippians 3:20, you can turn there if you want. Philippians 3:20, or you can look up on the screen. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We are citizens of heaven. We are here on earth on assignment as ambassadors. We are carrying out our God-given responsibilities and waiting for the return of our King, or for the call to go back home. So when I was growing up in my very Baptist church, we used to sing this song, and it would go like this. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Yay, older people in the audience. How exciting. And it really is a good representation, that part of that song, of what it means to be Christ's ambassadors. Like, this gets really kind of confusing for us because we spend our entire lifetimes on this planet, right? So it gets really easy to assume that this is home, and it's not. We're citizens of heaven. We're here on assignment. And at some point, we'll return back home. And we are Christ's ambassadors. So the good thing about being an ambassador is that it comes with some perks, some really amazing perks. So if you're an ambassador to another country, you have a place that you work, and they call that an embassy. Okay? You also have an official residence, and you have an official vehicle. The fantastic thing, and you have staff to carry out the job. So the fantastic thing about being an ambassador is that you don't pay for anything. Isn't that exciting? Right? So like if the U.S. ambassador to France, if the hot water heater goes out, they call up the people who come and fix the hot water heater, and then they send the bill to the U.S. because that's not their residence. It belongs to the United States. Right? So the next time your hot water heater goes out, you, as an ambassador of Christ, get to say, hey, Jesus, your hot water heater's out. Now, you still have to call the repairman, and you still have to get it done, but it's not yours to pay for. Everything you have, you are a steward of. You're not responsible for the payment of it. He is, because you are functioning as his ambassador, and he will pay for the things that he is supposed to pay for. He's very good at paying his own bills. I don't know if you know that about him. He absolutely will take care of it. Your house, your car, the place that you live, the place that you work, and the people that you need to carry out whatever it is that you're called to do. Matt 25 is run by Christina, right? So all of the staff, the volunteers that she needs to carry out that mission, he will give her. Every single one. That's part of being an ambassador, is that you have the staff that you need to do the things that you're called to. So the downside of that is you don't actually own the stuff. The upside of that is you don't own the stuff, right? So like I'm about to move from renting to owning, okay? I've been renting an apartment for a long time. Now I'm about to own a condo, which is awesome. I'm so excited. So I had this thought the other day, man, okay, I love owning it because I feel like I'm throwing money away when I rent, right? Because I'm not actually owning anything when you rent. But now if something goes wrong, like I actually have to fix it, right? Like I can't call my landlord and go, hi, how quick can you get to this? So now I'm actually responsible for fixing it. So the upside of being an ambassador is that you're not responsible for paying for the things that he's called you to, but you also don't own it either. We're all stewards of what he's given us. So another perk of being an ambassador is that you have what is known as diplomatic immunity. So do you guys ever watch like spy movies? Okay, I happen to love those kind of movies. So when you have diplomatic immunity, it means that whatever country you're serving in does not have the right to prosecute you. Okay? So if our U.S. ambassador to France got in trouble, did something awful, had a car wreck and, you know, killed somebody, manslaughter, they cannot prosecute him. He has diplomatic immunity. They would send him back to his home country, and the home country would handle that. So I want to encourage you as Christ's ambassadors in the earth that when the enemy, Satan, comes to prosecute you for the things you've done, that's not allowed. You are Christ's ambassadors. You answer to him, not to Satan. And so when he tries to prosecute you, that's not allowed. That's illegal. Now you're going to have to enforce it because he's a jerk. And he'll try to do it anyway, right? He is the old adage of whatever I can get away with, I'm going to try. So you're going to have to enforce that. But the enemy cannot prosecute you. He can't. You have the right to step in and stop it. Because you don't answer to him. You answer to your king. So you have diplomatic immunity. So I love that. There's definitely some perks to being Christ's ambassadors. What you want to bet there's a few responsibilities. Oh, that's kind of how it works in the kingdom, isn't it? There's like these amazing things that it gives you, and then there's a few responsibilities that weigh kind of heavy sometimes. So responsibilities. The chief responsibility of an ambassador is to hear what the home office is saying and say it. That's the ambassador's chief responsibility, to hear what the home office, the home country, is saying and say it. So in light of that, what is God like and what is he saying? So, as we function as Christ's ambassadors, what is God like and what is he saying? Because our responsibility is to say what he's saying. Well, there's this really interesting thing about the Lord. When you study scripture and when you get to know him as a person, what you realize is that God has what is called both hard and soft virtues. So before I discovered this, I used to be really confused reading the Bible. Now, you can be honest with me and you can tell me if you've been confused too. So like I would read the New Testament and God would seem really loving and kind and generous. And then I would read the Old Testament and I would think, wow, that's a lot of wrath. And I would get so confused. In fact, I got to the point one day where I actually said to him, you know, I love you, but honestly, sometimes you look a little schizophrenic. Right? So then I came across this, which I think is a fantastic way of seeing God for who he is, or at least seeing the overall picture. God has what is called both hard and soft virtues. So the soft virtues are the things that you would expect. Things like mercy and grace and kindness and love. So when we think of God, when we think of Jesus dying on the cross, when we think of these things, we think of the soft virtues of God, don't we? Like that's our perception of who Jesus is. So we're not going to turn to all these scriptures, but it's up there on the screen for you to see. So you can write those down. I'm going to read them out to you, but you can write them down and look them up later. Okay? So the soft virtues of God are mercy. Ephesians 2:4, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. God being rich in mercy. Grace. John 1:16. Out of his fullness, we have received grace in place of grace already given. So in place of the grace we already have, we've received more grace. Kindness. Psalms 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. God is kind. It's a part of his virtue. Now, if you're not really sure what a virtue is one of those words like, I know what it means, but I don't know how to explain what it is. So I had to go look it up. So a virtue is something that's a commendable quality or trait about another person. Love, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but it's really easy to love the soft virtues of God, isn't it? It's really easy to look at the soft virtues of God and say, yeah, buddy, I like that, right? And if we're really honest with ourselves, all of us in the room tend to gravitate, whether we realize it or not, to either the softer virtues of God or the harder virtues of God. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're created in his image, and both things are his image. And it also depends on your upbringing, right? My mom exhibited the soft virtues of God. She represented them really well. The church I grew up in exhibited the hard virtues of God, and they did it really well. So I had the benefit of growing up with both. So I grew up with a balanced view of God. But if you don't recognize or understand that God has both virtues, you end up with kind of this skewed view of who God is. Right? Hard virtues. So hard virtues are the things you would expect, the things that are not always the easiest to take about folks. Things like justice and righteousness and truth and holiness. You say those words out loud and people are like, right? I don't know about you, but when someone wrongs me, well, let me rephrase. When I do something wrong, I want mercy. Right? We all do that, right? But when someone wrongs me, I'm like, justice. We need justice. I think we all do that to some degree, whether we say it out loud or not. Some of us have learned not to say it out loud. But inside, that stuff kind of still happens for a lot of us, right? What we need to know is that God exhibits both things. So, justice. 9:24, Jeremiah 9:24 says this. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. The Lord delights in justice. Righteousness. Psalms 11:7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Truth. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is a very narrow keyhole. But the people who have never heard of Jesus, or the people who think, or the people who really honestly believe, well, you can really honestly believe something and be really honestly wrong. Right? It's a narrow keyhole. You come through me, or you don't get to Dad. That is a truth. It is a line in the sand, right? Holiness. Zechariah 2:13, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused in his holy habitation. I don't know if you've ever encountered the holiness of God, but it's eye-opening. I had an encounter with God when he was functioning with that holiness. I fell down on the floor and I couldn't get my face off the carpet. And there was this overwhelming feeling that if I make one wrong move, I'm going to die. And you may think, well, that's scary. Well, you know, we're supposed to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a parent? It's funny that Ashley was up here today. By the way, if you are on the struggle bus when it comes to parenting, Ashley Edwards is a great person to go talk to. She's a fantastic mom, and Ryan is a fantastic dad. They are wonderful people. So, if you really need more to know more about parenting, that's a good person to go to. The Lord himself is also a parent, right? He's our parent. So have you ever seen a child who was raised with a whole lot of the soft virtues and not a whole lot of the hard virtues? And have you seen how much they've struggled as an adult? Right? Have you ever seen a child raised with a whole lot of the hard virtues and not a whole lot of the soft virtues, and how much they've struggled as an adult. In order for us to have a balanced life, you need a balanced view of God. You need to know who He is in the soft virtues and in the hard virtues. You need to know it for you, and you need to know it for your kids, because the hard and soft virtues of God matter. So, we need to hear what He is saying in a given situation when we're functioning as His ambassadors, and sometimes what He says comes from the soft virtues, but sometimes they come from the hard virtues, and all of it should come from a place of love. So our job as His ambassadors is to find out what He's saying and then speak that truth in love. When you're talking to people, there are going to be times when they need the mercy and grace of God. And in that moment, you need to hear the Lord and give them that. But then there's going to be some other times, and you ain't going to like this. There's going to be some other times when the person you're talking to needs the truth of God. They need to know that God is holy and that they're accountable. And in that moment, that's what you need to say. But no matter which thing you're saying, you need to say it in love. The truth sometimes is a jagged little pill. And when it is wrapped in love, it goes down much easier. Right? So I don't know kind of how your world is, but I have people that I know. And I have people that I'm friends with. And then I have people that are like the people that I would call at 2 a.m. if I needed bail money, right? So, like, any of you got, like, bail money friends, right? Okay, so I heard this joke, and I'm just going to repeat it. Hoping I don't get in trouble. So I heard this joke that said, your good friend is the one that you call at 2 a.m. when you need bail money. Your best friend is unavailable because they're sitting in the jail cell with you. Right? I'm talking about the people that you tell your secrets to. They know where all the bodies are buried in your history. You know what I'm talking about? Right? I've got one of those friends. Her name is Julia. She's fantastic. I love her. She is a person who, in her personality, gravitates toward the hard virtues of God. So when I need to know the truth, that's who I call. Because she's going to tell me the truth. Whether I want to hear it or not, whether I like it or not, she's going to be honest with me. But I also know that that woman would take a bullet for me. Right? You need to get you some of them friends. You need to get you somebody who's going to love you enough to tell you the truth about yourself. Right? And then I have other friends that I know that no matter what is going on in my life, they're going to tell me God loves me and everything is going to be okay. And when I'm on the struggle bus on the other end, that's who I call, right? Because in this moment, life just went downhill and I need somebody to love me, right? I need some mercy and grace. Now, as you get older, we're supposed to mature in things. And I can honestly say that my friend Julia has matured quite a bit. And she's fantastic at telling me the truth in love now. And my other friends who gravitate toward mercy and grace, the softer virtues, have gotten much better at telling me the stuff that I don't want to hear. And that's the way it should be. You and I should hear from God what He's saying in this moment to this person and then tell them the truth and do so with love. That is what it means to function as Christ's ambassadors. So, Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. So how we become, remember we said an ambassador was a mature person? Right? Trusted, respected, knows the opinions of the people they speak for. They're trusted, they're mature. The way we become mature is this. It's Ephesians 4:15. It is, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. This is how we become mature, to speak the truth in love to one another. And I don't know if you've ever had someone do this. Like, so recently I had someone come and tell me something that I could tell they did not want to tell me. And they were trying their best to say it the right way. And they were like trying to tell me a truth I didn't want to hear. And they were trying to say it the right way. And I'm watching them going, oh, that's what I look like when I'm doing that. You know, they're trying, but it's just not easy. Look, hard conversations are not easy. If they were easy, they could be called easy conversations, but they're not called easy conversations. They're called hard conversations. And we need to love each other enough to tell each other the truth. And what we say matters. We need to hear him, then speak. It is so dangerous to get that out of order, right? That is the correct order. Hear him, then speak. And it's dangerous to get that out of order or to give our own opinion, because what the world needs right now is someone else's opinion, isn't it? Right? So it's dangerous to give our own opinion, and it's dangerous to speak without thinking. So any of y'all ever done that? You just open your mouth and out it came? Never, right? We've never done that. We've all done that. It's like you say something, you're like, oh, I just wish I could just pull that back and stick it back in my mouth. Because we've all done it. This is an area that we're growing in. So I want to tell you about the danger. Sorry, nose itching. I want to tell you about the danger of speaking without thinking when you're an ambassador. So close your eyes. Don't go to sleep. Close your eyes. I'm going to tell you a story. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to close your eyes. So this is the story of the almost nuclear war. On August 11th, 1984, at the height of the Cold War between America and Russia, President Reagan made his weekly public radio address from Rancho Del Silio, his holiday home in California. The radio transmission that was supposed to start with President Reagan announcing his signature piece of legislation, which was called the Equal Access Act, a key part of his reelection campaign. However, prior to his address, the president was joking around with NPR audio engineers during a sound check, and he joked, "My fellow Americans, I am pleased to tell you today that I have signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes." Are any of y'all old enough to remember this? I remember this. So now they managed to keep it off air, right? Because it's a sound check. They're not live yet. So they keep it off air and they keep it hush hush for a day or two. But rumors began to fly about the joke. And by August 13th, 2 days later, the actual quotation had been published by several other news outlets. 3 days later, after the original remarks, the joke had become world news. And a coded message was uncovered from the Soviet Union that declared, "We now embark on a military action against U.S. forces," in a move that was thought to be retaliation. This put NATO forces on high alert. But thankfully, an attack never came. So we nearly ended up in a nuclear war because the president, who is America's chief ambassador, wasn't careful in what he said. So as Christ ambassadors, we have to be careful in what we say. So a very wise thing to pray would be Psalms 141, verse 3. Psalms 141, verse 3 says this, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." At the end of the day, we are Christ's ambassadors. And I'm about to say some things you're probably not going to like, and I'm still going to say it, okay? As Christ's ambassadors, we don't get to express an opinion that's different than his. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. We are supposed to honor God. And so our opinions, whether they're public or private, should be consistent with what he thinks, because you and I are supposed to be transformed into his image. And I get that it's a process, and I get that we all screw up. Not begrudging anybody that, but we should be in process. We should allow the opinions that we have and the opinions that we express to be consistent with the king's opinions. After all, that's what an ambassador does. The people in your life, your family, your friends, your coworkers, when you get to see them face to face, they should be able to come to you and say, this is going on in my life. This is going on in my state. This is going on in my country. What does God say? And you and I should stop, listen to God, discern which part of his virtue he's expressing, and then say that. That's how an ambassador functions. We should not look at them and give our opinion. We don't have the luxury of that. We're his ambassadors. We are stewards of everything. There's a verse in Revelation that says that he examines all of our thoughts, deeds, and intentions of the heart. Like, he examines that, and he is in the process of conforming us and transforming us into his image. So in the end, being his ambassadors means that we set a guard on our lips and we listen to what he is saying, even when we think no one's listening. The purpose of being his ambassadors is to bring reconciliation. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, it's going to be on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, and then verses 14 and 15 say this. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What is plain to God, and I hope is also plain to your conscience. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So Christ's love compels us. When we are talking to our friends and our family and we're trying to hear what the Lord is saying to say to them, yes, it's true that we should express his opinion. We absolutely should, but that opinion should be given in love. And my dear friends, if we're more interested in being right than in being loving, we are doing it wrong. The truth is supposed to be spoken in love. And let me just give you a piece of advice, if you don't mind. If you can't say it in love, just don't speak. Don't speak. There are times when I'm like, I don't struggle with the truth. I can tell you what. Right? But I frequently find the Lord going, no, not yet. You have too much emotion and too much of you in that. No, not yet. And so I have to close my lips and not speak until I deal with all of the emotion that's going on inside of me. So that hopefully when I do open my lips and speak, that I'm actually expressing his opinion and not my own. And hopefully I'm saying it the way he's saying it and not the way I think they should hear it. So, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 20. We started out at 2 Corinthians 5, 20. So we're going to look at the few verses before, and these are the last verses we'll look at. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Oh, that'll preach, won't it? So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Sidebar. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and was responsible for many Gentiles coming to faith in Christ. You as a Gentile, part of the reason why you are saved is because the Apostle Paul witnessed to Gentiles in his day. Before he became a Christian, he was a mass murderer of Christians. Thank God he wasn't canceled. People can change. Christ can change them. And if you don't believe that, we are in a world of hurt. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. I'm not supposed to see them as what they once did, but as what Jesus can do through them. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the Ministry of Reconciliation. Hello, Ambassador. That's your ministry. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's your message, Ambassador. To be reconciled to God and to help others be reconciled to each other. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's who we are as ambassadors. The motivation should be reconciliation. The motivation should not be, I'm right, you're wrong. That doesn't bring reconciliation. It just ticks people off more, and it entrenches them in the fallacy they already believe. It doesn't help. So, what do we need to do from here? That was such an uplifting message, wasn't it? Aren't you so excited? It's beautiful, wasn't it? Like, woo, I'm so excited. That's fantastic. I feel terrible. So, I want to encourage you that if you do feel terrible, you're not alone. Everybody in this room has done the stuff that we've talked about, including yours truly. I don't know if you know how preaching works. Well, let me tell you how preaching works. If the Lord gives you a message on something like this, he will take it and beat you to death with it first. Right? And then hopefully that way when you stand in front of other people, you have some measure of grace and kindness when you speak. So if you're feeling bad today, I understand. Every time he calls me to preach on patience, I want to cuss. Because I know what my week's going to look like. Plenty of opportunities to practice patience. So having said all that, are you feeling, okay, like I can feel the tensions a little bit better in the room. Whew, y'all were like sitting on dynamite just a few minutes ago. So having said that, that stuff that's going on inside of you, you need to get cleaned up. Because you can't function well as an ambassador with all that going on. So I'd like to call the worship team up. And I'd like to call the prayer servants up. So we're going to go into worship. And during the first song, I would invite you to come. Now, if you're able to clean this stuff up between you and the Lord in your seat, feel free. But if you need to talk to somebody because you got some stuff you need to unpack, the prayer servants will be here. Please come and receive prayer. Because the Lord wants your conscience to be clean so you can minister the message of reconciliation effectively. Right? This is what the Lord has for you. Just a minute, I need to pray. Okay. So this morning I felt like I received a word from the Lord to the American church. So this may apply to you in the room and it may not. It may apply to you online or not. But when the Lord gives a corporate word, what that means is that it applies to enough people. It needs to be said out loud in front of everybody. Okay? So I'm going to give this word and it may apply to you and it may not. That's between you and the Lord to decide. Okay? This is the word. I have called you to speak for me. Many of you have abandoned your post. You have become enmeshed with a political spirit and have become enamored of your own opinions. You have forgotten that you are accountable to me. You are not walking in the fear of the Lord. So return to me. Repent and return to me. Take up your post once again. Hear me. Say what I'm saying and watch me change hearts because only I can. Political solutions will never solve spiritual problems. Look, I got a political opinion too. We all do. But what we need is Jesus. The people people we disagree with, we need Jesus. We need to function on his behalf. So the Lord is calling you to return to him as his ambassador, to speak on his behalf, to give his opinion in any given situation. The altars are open. Come.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.